One, go.
Hello, basketball world. Encore Onslaught with another wonderful, brilliant basketball-loaded content podcast for you. Of course, it's me and co-host Brett. What's going on, Brett?
What's up, basketball world?
I guess I should say my name sometimes every once in a while. It's Brandon LaChance, of course. Today is going to be a special podcast because we got a friend of mine who is also a former colleague. He was actually my sports editor at a college newspaper. Now he's doing a radio show in Bloomington. He's a DJ for
Magic 100.7.
Thank you, Rich, for chiming in there with your
is radio station. Is that an adult contemporary station? Because it sure sounds like one.
Yeah, in fact, the funny thing is it's now defunct. We are now called Hits 100.7. And we play a lot of Nicki Minaj, but that doesn't matter now.
No, it really doesn't. The point is you're a radio host and you're on a legitimate network, so respect him, people.
Right. And before your radio days, you worked at a couple newspapers, yes. Illinois State. You were a sports columnist. Of course, you were the sports editor of the wonderful, brilliant Ivy Leader for Illinois Valley Community College.
Yep.
So how's it going, Rich?
It's going rather well, sir. Just enjoying my Friday afternoon here. I thought I'd turn off the HGTV and join you guys on a little sports talk.
I feel honored that you would do that for us.
House hunters is tough to get away from.
I keep talking about how God's been smiling on me, and it's like opportunities like this just let me know that God loves me.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, today we got a few topics to talk about. Let's jump in right away to the playoffs. No basketball today because the playoffs start tomorrow. We'll just start with the Eastern Conference. Who do you think is a sleeper in the Eastern Conference? Rich, go ahead.
A sleeper in the Eastern Conference? A lot of people are sleeping on Indiana. They're healthy. I think when they play George Hill at point, they're pretty unstoppable. And so I think a lot of people are sleeping on them, and I definitely don't think that Miami wants to see them around too. But as far as sleepers go, I'm probably going to have to say Indiana if we're going other than Chicago versus Miami.
Okay.
Interesting. I was going to go with Indiana, but I can't do that because that would just be like saying the same stuff over again, and nobody likes hearing that. So I'm not going to go with Indiana. I'm going to go with New York. Matt Shetler of Bleacher Report picked New York over Miami in 7. That might be a stretch without Jeremy Lin in the first round, but if they can sneak by Miami somehow and get Lin back in the second round, you could be looking at an Eastern Conference finalist team coming from the 8th seed. It wouldn't be the first time New York's done that, of course. 1999 is the number 8 seed. They went to the finals and lost to the Spurs in that shortened 50-game season. So, anything's possible. And the 8th seeded Denver Nuggets beat the number 1 seeded Supersonics that year. The Golden State Warriors 8th seed beat the Mavericks as the number 1 seed. So I would never count the Knicks out. I think Carmelo Anthony's putting up 29.7 points a game in the last 24 games. They're 18-6 over that span. Tyson Chandler wants to face Miami, so he got what he wanted. He's been saying all along that he thinks they can beat the Heat, and I think we'll get a chance to see if that's the case.
All right, I like that pick. I'm going to say unfortunately. I guess it's because I feel like I'm jumping the bandwagon, but Boston Celtics have been killing it with their defense lately. It's been amazing to watch, even though I hate the Celtics. If I had one sports team that I wish did not exist besides the Green Bay Packers, it would be the Boston Celtics. So I'm going to go with them.
I think that's a pretty solid pick.
That's a solid pick. I think anytime you're talking about a team with Rondo, you're talking about something that could happen. Rondo is a triple-double machine. I don't know how many he has in his career, but he has a lot for a freaking point guard.
Yeah, definitely. Between him and Jason Kidd, they've got to be close now. I mean, I know Kidd's got a lot, but Rondo may one day pass him.
He may. Yeah. He rebounds the ball well enough to do it.
I think he could. I definitely could see it, which I would not like that to happen, but it could happen.
I definitely think Boston poses the most trouble for the Bulls in the second round. I mean, that's going to be difficult again, just based on psychologically.
I was going to say, I think Boston is a lock to defeat Atlanta, rather.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, the Chicago-Boston series is almost a lock to me. And I think it's going to be one of the best of the playoffs.
I agree. I would definitely agree with that.
Which series in the first round in the Eastern Conference do you think is the best, Rich? most exciting for you to watch?
I really think that it's got to be Miami versus the Knicks, and the Knicks have been playing hot, and a lot of it is going to come down to point guard play, I think. And luckily, I mean, Chalmers versus Baron Davis might not be crazy on paper, but I think that's actually going to play into things. And the Knicks, they have the guards to guard in the perimeter, like against Wade and against James, so that could pose some problems for Miami. But on the other hand, when you play Bosch, James, and Wade at the same time, that's going to be tough for anybody. So, and I think they got to figure out how they're going to work with Chandler, Stoudemire, and Melo at the same time. That they're having a tough time figuring that out. When they play Melo at the floor, at the four, they play a lot better than when they play with all three of those guys at the same time.
I think I agree with that. What you're saying about having perimeter defenders is going to prove crucial. You talk about guys like Iman Shumpert and Landry Fields, who are both essentially role players. But in terms of covering Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, both of them are going to be essential, respectively, probably. Yeah. Shumpert, I expect to see at 30-plus minutes the entire series just because of his defensive impact.
And we have a unanimous decision. I can't argue that that's the most enticing series of the first round.
Well, I didn't say that was my most enticing. You misunderstood. I'm really eager to see the Bulls take on the 76ers. The 76ers' backcourt is going to cause all kinds of problems for the Bulls, even though they have a pretty decent backcourt. You look at the shooting guard position, and I know you could call Lewis Williams a point guard too, but he's been giving teams headaches all year. I think he has a legit shot at winning Sixth Man of the Year. You know, to Evan Turner, he's boarding it up really hard. He's a hard-working guard. He has very heady play. Drew Holiday, I don't know what you can say about him. He's pretty legit point guard at this point. I mean, he's only going to be getting better. He's still very, very young. He came into the league when he was 19 years old. And like, you even look at their front line. Elton Brand's still a solid veteran. Spencer Hawes is a big-time shooter, good shot blocker. And I think Noah's going to have a lot of trouble with Hawes if he takes him out on the floor further. Boozer's going to have – he and Elton Brand will probably battle to a stalemate. And, you know, it's going to come down to that backcourt play, and I think the Sixers could pose a lot of problems for the Bulls because of that.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, but the problem is that Philly doesn't score. That's their big problem, and they're going up against a team who plays crazy good defense. You know, their defensive efficiency is number one in the league, and Philly just doesn't score very well. Lou Williams, yeah, he's pretty good. He's leading their team in scoring. I mean, even though he comes off the bench, Drew Holiday is good. My problem is I just don't think they can handle the Bulls up front. I really think that Elton Brand, if going up against Boozer, I think he does well because Boozer doesn't play good defense. But however, Noah plays good help defense. Ashik, when he plays great help defense. And if Tosh plays, I think that's going to help out a ton too. But I'm sure we'll get back to more Bulls talk later on. But
yeah, you know, moving back to that though, there's a matchup neither of us even mentioned, which is Luol Deng versus Andre Iguodala at the small forward position. That would be a crucial matchup in the entire position. Neither of us even mentioned it. Iguodala has to do a job on Deng, and Deng has to do his job scoring. So it would be an interesting problem, mainly for the Bulls.
Yeah, both are pretty messy defenders. I mean, they're good defenders, so I meant messy in a good way. It'll just be a really tough matchup, I'm sure.
It'll be tough, but I'm picking Chicago in five.
Take Chicago in six.
Good pick. I do think that will be a good series, though. I think they're all going to be good series, except probably Indiana or Orlando, because without Dwight Howard, Orlando is not fun to watch.
They're without Turkola, too, I understand.
Right.
So yeah, they would have to shoot about a dozen threes and make all of them.
He'll probably do that one game in the series, though. He'll probably hit like 8 of 11 one game, and they'll win a game. But
yeah,
he's an incredible player at this point. I think Ryan Anderson is eventually going to be recognized at not quite on the same level as Kevin Love, but well up there. He was the number 6 fantasy player this season, if you're into that kind of thing. So, and he was drafted in the 9th and 10th round in fantasy, so he outperformed his draft position better than any other fantasy player. He outplayed Chris Bosh 2 of the games that Orlando played Miami this year. He's a guy to keep an eye on.
Does this mean Jameer Nelson has to pass the ball?
No, Jameer Nelson should never pass the ball now. He should shoot at every damn possession.
As long as they keep it away from Glenn Davis, I think everybody will be happy.
Yeah, I don't know why that guy is even in the league anymore.
Who would not to cut you off, Brandon, but I'm going to ask it back to you to keep you on track here. Who would really want to trade Brandon Bass for Glenn Big Baby Davis?
Otis.
Yeah, Otis, my man. Yeah, that didn't make much sense at all. Brandon Bass, when Howard was out and when they needed the size, he played really well last year.
Do you remember the Detroit game that Howard missed with the flu? Bass scored 32 that game. I think he put up 28 in the first half.
Right. I know he beasted hard for a while he was out. I couldn't remember game by game.
He had a monster game against Detroit.
He was pretty impressive. I can't take that away from him.
I think that game against the Pistons, he had 11 of his first 12 field goals, too.
Wow.
Yeah, he was on fire. And then the Magic lost, I think, that game by 3. But he and... trying to remember who else it was. Might have been Redick. I think Redick had a beast of a game, too. And Howard was out. Nelson was out. There was one other guy that was out. I can't remember. This was like, you know, a year and a half ago. I can barely remember things that happened last week. So that's about as good as I can do for you on that game. I'll look it up and get you with more info later at another point when I'm...
I don't think we could find very many people that will say Davis is a more polished player than Bass.
No.
Yeah.
No, and Bass is like 10 times the athlete that Davis is.
Finally, we have the unanimous decision I was waiting for. All right, let's move on to the Western Conference. Rich, who do you think is a sleeper team? We got many options for the sleeper in the West.
You know, everybody sees Memphis as a sleeper, and while I would agree with that, I just want to go against the grain, and I want to pick maybe Denver. As a sleeper, I think Denver matches up well against the Lakers, and I think they could pose some problems. I mean, their speed in their front court, or their back court, is huge with Ty Lawson and Andre Miller. I think that helps, and McGee has been playing pretty well, and he plays good help defense, and Fareed has just been...
Yeah, I was hoping you would mention Fareed. I got the chance to meet Fareed when he came to Orlando. The guy is just absolutely humble as can be. He's optimistic. He said he loves giving other teams headaches and having to call timeout because he's grabbing all the rebounds. He said rebounding is fun. Not too many players have taken that attitude towards rebounding anymore. To see a guy that wants to come in and grab every freaking rebound that comes off the glass, yeah, I like that.
Right.
I like that a lot.
And it's just tough to see a team get better when they lose their best player in Melo, but that's been the case for the last 2 years. So I just see these guys posing a little. I think the Lakers still win, but as far as a sleeper goes, I think Denver could pose some problems for Lakers. And plus, I know I can't call him Meta World Peace. I still call him Ron Artest.
So do I.
But I think that that even though they got Ramon Sessions, I still see them having trouble at the guard small forward position. So I think that could be a problem, especially Denver's speed.
Nobody even calls him Meta World Peace in the locker room. I referred to him as Ron, and he responded immediately. So he apparently doesn't take his own name change that seriously either. One reporter, she jokes, she goes, "Do I have to call you Meta?" He's like, no.
That's funny.
Anyway, yeah, the Lakers could have a lot of problems with them. The team I'm going to go with is the Memphis opponent. A lot of people seem to be sleeping on the Clippers. I think Blake Griffin can have an absolutely monster series against Zach Randolph. Seriously, Zach Randolph is a Ninja Turtle. How is he going to cover Blake Griffin? I mean, he can't get off the floor. He's not... I guess he's not really a Ninja Turtle because they get off the floor pretty well, especially considering they're turtles. But
you know, up until last year, Randolph was horrible defensively. I don't think people realize how bad he was defensively, and he really took his game up a notch last season. But this season he's been hurt, and I can see Blake Griffin having a big series.
He's too quick, he's too strong, he's too powerful. He's going to give Randolph absolute nightmares. He's probably going to grab 14 rebounds in at least one or two of the games, maybe 15.
My concern is his free throw percentage. That's the only concern I have with.
Yeah, that worries me too. It worries me too. Chris Paul should have an absolutely monster series. I don't know how Conley's a good defensive player, but let's be honest, he gets his steals by filling the lane. He doesn't give other point guards that much trouble bringing the ball up the court or getting into the offense. So,
right.
I think Chris Paul's going to have a field day. I think he's going to break Conley down off the dribble, get a whole bunch of easy shots and looks for Griffin and DeAndre Jordan around the basket. Jordan's going to have his hands full with Gasol, of course, but, you know, there's only like two or three teams in the league that don't have their hands full with Gasol, so I'm not going to fault them there.
Right. Have you heard much about Gasol's knee and how he feels about with that? I know he's been having some knee problems. I don't know if maybe you knew a little something about that.
No, I don't. I haven't followed up on that. Tom, be honest with you, I've fallen out of touch with the NBA the last probably half week or so, but I plan on reading up on everything, going here into the playoffs, and as I write my playoff predictions for Matic Sports. So I will look into that, and I will write about it accordingly. But I'm not sure offhand. I think he's going to be okay. The last article I read said he would be okay by the playoffs. So, but all that right. that was about a week ago.
Well, just talk about Griffin. You saying dominating? That could dominate Randolph. This is where I think Sam Arthur, I think his name is, the backup power forward. I think this is where Memphis.
Daryl Arthur. Going.
What's that?
Daryl Arthur.
Yeah, there you go, Daryl Arthur. I think this is where they miss him the most because I think he would do a way better job defending Griffin, and he's way more athletic than Randolph. I think this is where it really, where you can pay attention that he's not there.
Do we maybe see Maurice Spates play a little this series?
I think so. I think he's not going to shut down Griffin and, you know, stop his dunks and stop his rebounding, but he's going to put somewhat of a pause on it.
Yeah, Spates is, he's a guy I thought was going to be a lot better. I honestly thought he'd be about as good as Al Horford. That never happened. It's not too late for that to happen, but at this point he has a long ways to go to ever reach that kind of level of play, obviously. I saw him play in Summer League. I guess that's probably why I thought that. Guys tend to dominate in Summer League if they have their weight, you know, if they're worth their weight in salt, which he is. So, you don't ever want to gauge a player's performance based on how they dominated a summer league game, but I thought he'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, my sleeper team is not really a sleeper because I've been picking Memphis Grizzlies to win the conference since, like, 2 weeks into the season, and I love the Grizzlies. I love everything about them. I love Rudy Gay. I love Randolph. I love Gasol. Conley is not the best point guard in the league, but he's more than efficient. Tony Allen's defense is spectacular. I love the Memphis Grizzlies.
And Tony Allen always plays well in the playoffs. Even back in Boston, always plays well. And he took his defense, and now he's making big shots. That's the crazy thing about Tony Allen.
I always wonder about Tony Allen, what player he could have been if he had not had those knee injuries.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. I actually picked him up on my fantasy team, and when I did it, I was like, should I do it? I don't know if he could give me any offense. And then, boom, he started scoring out of this world, and I'm like, thank you, Tony Allen.
Who won that last week matchup between us and our league, Brandon? The final matchup for the third place.
I whooped you.
You whipped me? I didn't even check it. I did set my lineup, but I didn't go back and look.
Yeah, I got in as a. It was funny because a week before going into the playoffs, you were in second, and I was in third. Then you got murked by the dude who ended up winning the whole league, 8-1, and then I moved up to second, and then. Both lost our first-round matches.
I didn't set my lineup against Mark's Mad Squad that week either, and I didn't set it the first round of the playoffs either.
Yeah, they actually had an awesome ending yesterday. The winner of our league did not win until DeMarcus Cousins got a steal with 6 minutes left in the last game of the season.
Wow.
It was awesome. It was the thriller of fantasy basketball.
That's awesome.
I guess I should have paid attention, but I lost all interest in my leagues due to depressing circumstances around my career, so yeah, I don't regret not setting my lineup. It happened, you know.
Right, I'm giving you a hug through the computer right now.
Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate it. I'm a very sentimental kind of person, so that means a lot to me.
I can't. So much digital love.
I can't have a depressed co-host, man. That doesn't go well for me.
No, I'm over it now. I move forward. Life goes on.
All right. Real quickly, Rich. Which matchup, first-round series, are you most interested in watching in the Western Conference?
Again, I think I have to go back to the Lakers and Denver. I just see that series being really, really competitive. And I also wanted to say something about Oklahoma City and Dallas being a good series. They just played so tough last year, and even though Dallas is just struggling, I still see that as being a problem with Oklahoma City, especially with James Harden now, but let's stick with L.A. versus Denver. I'm going to pick that one. I think Denver can upset the Lakers. I really do. I think that'll go at least 6 games, no matter what, and I see that as being like maybe a defining moment again for Kobe, but Denver's speed just intrigues me. They're just so fast, and I don't know. I have to stick with that series. I have to.
All right. What about you, Brett? Who do you got?
I'm going off beat here, and I don't think the series is going to go a full 7 games either. It'll end at 6 probably, but I'm going with the Spurs-Utah series. I'm very excited to see Jefferson and Millsap go to work against San Antonio. Duncan is not the player he used to be. Jefferson's going to have a huge series. I don't understand. I mean, what are they going to do? Try to throw DeJuan Blair at him? He's 6'5". Millsap's going to go crazy. I think Devin Harris might rediscover himself against Tony Parker, and the series will go 6 games. Spurs 4-2.
That's a good pick, though. I like that. I still think the Spurs, at the end of the day, are going to manhandle them. Tony Parker is, wow. I love Derrick Rose, and I love, you know, Chris Paul, but Tony Parker has moved himself from this season alone up my point guard board considerably.
Yeah, and Ginobili's finally healthy, too. That's a big thing for them. He's finally healthy, scoring points, and Duncan's been playing really well when he's been in. So, I don't know. I don't really see that game going past the 5th game.
All right. I got to stay with my Grizzlies and the L.A. Clippers. I mean, we got Lob City and a full, complete team that can do everything. I am really, really excited for this matchup. I don't see one intangible of basketball that we're not going to see over and over and over and over in every game, and that's the kind of series that I love to watch.
Yeah, it'll be a fun series to watch. It'll be entertaining, to say the least.
All right, so I guess that wraps up our playoff conversation. Rich, we kind of, you know, from the same area, Northern Illinois, not too far away from Chicago, so we both, you know, been born as Chicago Bulls fans, diehard here, probably with you too.
Yes, sir.
It's been an up and down season, even though they have the best record in the Eastern Conference and have been killing opponents without one of the best players in the league. What do you see in the playoffs? How do you think, they got Philadelphia in the first round. They would probably more than likely have Boston in the second. What do you see happening? Who do you see stepping up? And how do you see the, you know, formation of the team going around?
Well, I think first round is not an issue for the Bulls. I think we run through the 76ers just because they can't really score. I mean, yeah, they play defense, but they just can't score. And the Bulls play really good defense. My concern is getting to Boston. I think in order for the Bulls to progress, Rose needs to use this series against Philly to get his legs back underneath him, get back to being the Derrick Rose last postseason, but then we need him to be plus postseason last year also. I think Luol Deng really, really, really needs to step it up. I think, he's been hit and miss all year. I know he's been hurt, but there's some games where he shows up for 20, and there's some games where he shows up for 5. So I need some consistency. That has to happen, I think, in order for the Bulls to be successful. I'm not really worried about Boozer too much. I like the way he's progressed his game. He's actually dunking this season, which is amazing, which he didn't do last season at all. I think he dunked. The playoffs really doesn't, but I think the Bulls bench will. I think, most importantly, John Lucas has to stay off the floor.
I like that. Why do you say that, though?
John Lucas, I was going to save this for our least favorite basketball players.
Okay, save it. All right. Let's talk about, I want to go and talk about Boozer. When the beginning of the season, maybe halfway through, Facebook, Twitter, Chicago Bulls forums, oh, we need to get rid of Boozer. Let's make a move to get rid of Boozer's horrible contract because he can't play and da-da-da-da. And then Boozer comes back and plays like he did in Utah for the reason that Chicago got him in the first place.
Yeah, that was absolutely huge for us this season. And, you know, Boozer, of course, has his ups and downs. He has terrible footwork on defense. He doesn't play help defense. And I wish he'd foul somebody every now and then. But he's still, who else would you rather have? I know people are, you know, wanting to see more of Taj Gibson, but he still doesn't have that touch and that shooting ability that Boozer does, and we need his local scoring ability more than we need Taj Gibson's scoring ability.
Boozer's scoring ability is exactly why we signed him, because all we had was Rose. Dang wasn't... He was an efficient scorer, but not a prolific scorer, and we needed Boozer. Or I shouldn't say we, because I have no affiliation with Chicago Bulls, so I'm going to say them, but it was just Rose for the most part, so we got Boozer for that reason. We knew there was a lack of defense, and we dealt with it. And Chicago Bulls still have the best defense in the league with him on the team, so I don't think it's that bothersome.
Yeah, it's not. As long as Noah helps, then we're usually fine. But other than that, as long as we're still crashing the out, he still rebounds really well, especially offensively. You know, as long as we have Noah with the help defense, we'll be fine.
Right, exactly.
Well, and I agree with both of you. Not to interject my two cents here or anything, but Luol Deng is the absolute key to that series. Well, every series that Chicago gets in this year. He's going to have to be huge against Miami if they get there and face him in the conference finals. I mean, he's going to have to cover LeBron James. He's going to have to score. He's going to be asked to do a hell of a lot that series, and he's got to step up and do it.
Oh, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I 100% absolutely agree with that statement, 100%. And if Miami pulls that same stunt, if we get to see Miami and they pull that same stunt where they put Wade and James on Rose or James on Rose, then Deng really needs to step it up and take advantage of who he's playing against.
Right, he'll have to abuse whatever smaller defender they put on him at that point.
Yeah, he'll have to use his length and athletic ability, no doubt.
I mean, if they try to do something absolutely insane and, like, do a straight switch and put Chalmers on him, he better go to work.
Yeah, he's got to work Chalmers. Absolutely has to. And he needs to go back to the slash and dash, Deng. I like his outside shot. It looks good, but it just doesn't fall as nearly as much as it should.
He seems to have a lot of shots rattle out for some reason.
Yeah.
Sorry,
what
Brian.
What about Rip Hamilton's influence on the playoffs?
Yeah, I like Rip. I like that he's had some games where he's scored some baskets. I haven't seen too much fluidity through him throughout the season, and that kind of bothers me. I'd almost rather see Ronnie Brewer start and have Hamilton come off the bench, just because Brewer plays just outstanding defense, and he can score every now and then. But I think that I would like to see more Ronnie Brewer, especially when we get to Miami, if that happens, that we can, and especially Boston. You know, he can chase Ray Allen around much better, I think, than Rip Hamilton can. Even though Rip, he's fast and he's quick, but Brewer plays more defense than Rip does. I think that's more important.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I have fallen in love with Ronnie Brewer's game. When I hear Stacey King, the Chicago Bulls commentator, say Ronnie Brewer, the finest brew in Chicago, I love it because I think it's true.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
All right, so right before we wind this up, because we're probably running out of time, how much time are we going here?
We got a couple more minutes.
All right, so I wanted to do this thing. I'm not trying to steal this from ESPN's Ryan Rasillo, but at the same time, I'm kind of stealing it from him because I heard it on a podcast about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. He came up with a list of the worst players in the NBA to watch, and he named like 20 people. But I just wanted to get a current worst player that you just can't stand watching, does some stupid bonehead plays, stuff like that. A current player and an ever player. So if you want to shoot your two nominees, go ahead, Rich.
All right. Worst player I've ever seen play basketball, I always thought was Jason Williams, the point guard. That guy used to make the worst passes, even though he'd make a great play every now and then. But the way that guy would pass the ball was just gross, and he would never hit his target, but everybody loved him, and I really think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was white and could play basketball and also pass every now and then and throw a lob, but for the most part, I really didn't like playing that guy or watching that guy, and I also didn't like Malik Allen playing basketball either. Those were my two least favorite of all time, and currently, can I go currently, or do we want to wait for that?
No, go ahead. Go currently.
All right. Currently, Gennaro Pargo. In fact, I wrote a column about how much I disliked Gennaro Pargo when the Bulls got him, and I'll never forget when Gennaro Pargo single-handedly took the ball out of Chris Paul's hands in the playoffs when they were both playing for New Orleans and ruined that series. And he's just the kind of guy that's a chuck and duck guy, and that's what worries me about John Lucas. When he comes in, he doesn't like to pass the ball. His head's down. He's looking for a shot, and that's it. That is all.
I definitely agree with you. I like your two picks. Jason Williams irked me really bad because it was like in the mid-90s, late-90s, watching him, you know. I'm playing basketball, trying to, you know, emulate my game after other players, and I'd watch him. I'm like, I can't watch this. This is going to ruin everything I have good going.
Yeah, it ruined a lot of people.
His personality was never all that great either. He avoided media every freaking game. He would just skirt out of the locker room and never even stick around to answer a single question.
That sounds awesome. Who are your worst players, Brett?
My worst players. Well, today I have to go with none other than Joel Anthony. Watching that guy makes me wonder why he ever even tried to pick up a basketball. He belongs working at the supermarket bagging groceries. He is a total bum. He cannot score. He can't do anything with a basketball. The only reason he's on the court is because he's 7 feet tall and has long arms. And it pains me to watch him play basketball. It makes me wish I had never turned on the TV every time I see the Heat play and he's in the game. All time, I go with Mark Akers of the Orlando Magic. The guy was absolutely absurd. He couldn't make layups. He had trouble just committing a foul without the guy scoring. I mean, he was paper thin. I don't know if he joined Greg Kite, who was absolutely just about as bad with the Magic. And Greg Kite started a construction business. I imagine Akers could probably handle that. Probably would shoot a nail gun through his foot at some point. But, you know, that's what they make workers comp for. And that's about really the best he could have done in life, is drawn a workers comp check. And somehow he ended up in the NBA and had a career. I really don't understand it. He never even looked like a basketball player at any point that I watched him. He looked like a guy with sneakers on just doing his best to pretend he was an NBA player.
Wow, you got really into him on that one.
I did.
If he didn't shoot on that for a long time.
If he didn't shoot himself with a nail gun yet, he did right now.
Yes.
All right, my current player, I've said this on Loud About Basketball on Facebook quite a few times. Josh McRoberts of the Los Angeles Lakers makes me absolutely sick. I cannot stand his game, never have.
Yeah, he's just a thug for sure. That's all that guy.
He nailed it. Yeah, I saw him play in Summer League. I've mentioned Summer League twice now. You're probably wondering why I watch Summer League games. Because I hate baseball and all other sports, so that's why I watch Summer League basketball. Anyway, we're moving aside from that. Josh McRoberts put on one of the absolute most horrendous games I've ever seen a basketball player string together. He shot 13 three-pointers and hit two, and he got in a fight and got ejected.
Yeah, he's just a big guy that mauls people. He can't do anything else except try to take you out. I can't take it. I hate his game.
Yeah, I agree with that one. That's another.
What about all time, Brandon?
Dudley, who played with the New York Knicks.
Oh my God.
I used to love watching the Knicks. Patrick Ewing, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson. It was cool to watch them because they were kind of thugs, but kind of not, and they could score and they could do whatever.
Yeah.
Then you had Chris Dudley, this tall, awkward-looking white guy.
You know, he shot from. Sorry, go.
That couldn't really rebound. Couldn't really score. Horrible free throws. It looked like he was just throwing.
Hello, Brandon?
The worst thing ever, and that's what Dudley did.
You mentioned his free throws. I was hoping you would mention his free throws. He shot the all-time worst percentage from the line in one season. He shot 36%.
You know it's bad when you'd rather have Will Perdue on your team than Chris Dudley. That's how I felt about that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Dudley was one of the worst. I mean, I would rather have tons of the bad centers that have Kwame Brown. I would love to have Kwame Brown if I had Chris Dudley on my team. So, yeah, do you guys agree with me that Chris Dudley could be one of the worst players ever?
Yeah, I fully agree, hands down. And the fact that I always thought that I'd much rather have Will Perdue than Chris Dudley, that was, yeah, that guy was gross.
Yeah, I'd rather have Kwame Brown. I think you mentioned earlier Michael Ola Candy.
Yeah.
What was his name flipped in my head? As soon as one of you guys say it, I'm going to be like, yeah, definitely him, too. The tall guy, he was like 7'1", and he played for the Dallas Mavericks. White guy.
Are you talking about Sean Bradley?
Yeah, Sean Bradley. I couldn't remember his name.
Did you say 7'1"? He was 7'6".
7'6"?
Yeah.
What did I say, 7'1"?
Yeah.
Yeah. You only missed by half a foot. No big deal.
Oh, half a foot. That's nothing. That's nothing. Yeah, I would still rather have him than Chris. I mean, that's crazy. Chris Dudley was garbage.
Most damn.
All right, Rich. How do people listen to you, hear your words of wisdom?
What's that?
That how do people, you know, get a hold of you, hear your words of wisdom, read from you? What are your plugs?
Oh, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Radio Rich G. I try to keep up on that a little better with the Twitter. I was going to start blogging here soon. I've been kind of out of the writing game because when you go to school, you realize that journalism doesn't pay the bills as well as some other forms of media. But trying to get back in the writing game, maybe just some vlogs here and there. But for the most part, follow me at Radio Rich G at Twitter.
All right, very cool. Brett, do we have a word from our sponsor?
Yes. Stealing Home Sports is your place for sports memorabilia. If you have some extra money that you like to blow like I do, you go there, buy some autographs and some basketballs autographed and all kinds of neat pictures and stuff. So that head there and check that out. Stealing Sports, Stealing Home Sports. And you can get at me on Twitter at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, underscore D, underscore Roberts. You know, I'm not big on Twitter, but every once in a while you'll get a nice, awesome tweet from me. Sometimes even my personal blog, which I can't link here because it's inappropriate content.
All right. You can get at me at LaShawn, L-A, Chance, pretty much easiest way to say that. So LaShawn underscore writer at Twitter, and then Facebook, Brandon LaShawn, blog everywhere, Encore Onslaught. You know how to get a hold of us. Well, Rich, we'd like to appreciate, you know, spending your Friday night off of the TV and off of other activities to talk to us.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys having.
All right, fellas, that does it. That's fair.
Get a hold of me. I'm in.
That's what we like to hear. Good. All right, basketball world, we'll come at you next week. Peace.
Peace.